This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Fun is winning. Winning is fun. I believe have fun first, then you win. Then you have more fun in the clubhouse.
I mean, Ozzy's right about that. And even though the Cubs are patiently waiting news on Shota Umenaga, as we all are, the Cubs still improved to 21-14. They got 21 wins on Saturday in their second win of the Brewers series. Lost yesterday 4-0, but they still took 2 out of 3 against their division rivals at their place. And the two wins were pretty commanding, I would say, Mark Rohde.
Absolutely. No, dominant wins, and it was kind of a, could it be, could things, but was that indicative, symbolic of things are changing again in the division?
Well, and like, how nice was it, for example, in that 10-0 win on Friday night, where you're sitting pretty after the second inning because they had scored 7 runs.
Uh-huh. Yes, and then you gave Ben Brown just what he needed.
All the run support in the world.
Yes, just to relax and to be you. And now maybe he's back on track, but still to be seen.
Still to be seen, and I feel like he's not the only one we're talking about there. Dansby Swanson had a good week to try to get back to where we know him to be offensively. I feel like it started in Pittsburgh for him a bit. It continued not only throughout that series, but even in what we saw against the Brewers. And that's something that encourages you, knowing, again, what he's done defensively and just for the team, what he means.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that he was moved. I mean, right now, Craig Counsell's looking real good. That the fact that he was put down in the lineup, and then there was, at exactly that moment, Dansby Swanson started to play better. I thought the answer that Craig Counsell gave was filled with humility, because he said, yeah, I think he was probably about ready to take off at that point. And so he's probably right, but it was a good move by Craig Counsell, obviously. Got to give him credit for that.
Like, for example, Dansby Swanson hasn't gone hitless in a game in the month of May. I know that's only 4 games, but when you consider the body of work, I think that's important here. And maybe even it was the Dodger series where you really started to see him come on, that 2-game set. But either way, you know, going 3-for-4 against the Pirates too will also help. But to put it together consistently is something that you want to see. I think also the past 2 wins really unlocked a lot of positive discussion when it came to the Cubs understanding what they're putting together. We heard earlier in the show from Jameson Taillon talking about his approach against right-handed batters, or whether it was PCA still finding out who he is offensively. So I thought it was appropriate that we hear from Dansby Swanson as well. This was something that you came across.
Are we playing it? Let's play it. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best teams just consistently show up and do the work. The best teams show up with a confidence and a swagger, with an expectation to win, no matter who the opponent is. You know, we're out there to basically play our game and do what we do, and trust whether we win or lose that you know, we'll show up again the next day and do it again. There's times where we all need to be reined in a little bit here and there, and you know, someone can point something out, and we all keep each other pretty, you know, humble and all those kinds of ways. Like, this team loves to talk trash to one another, and just all the fun ways that we hold each other accountable, you know, is a way in which that kind of keeps everyone somewhat in line, but also comfortable, you know, in their own skin.
So I thought that was important, because A, shows you what happens when there's a group of veterans who I think feel like they've got an understanding of who this team is and how they all fit together. B, something that you talk about when you're playing well. You know, that's not something you would hear if the team was losing.
100%. I mean, some teams will say that that's the way a clubhouse is if things are going poorly, but it's, usually the case that a clubhouse really comes together if you're winning, and that cures all.
Well, that's it, right? Winning is the best medicine, as we like to say. I always like to say after that, the confidence is a welcome side effect.
Oh, yeah.
But when you consider how this is coming together in a way that maybe leads to some of those conversations being a little more, they're not that big of a deal. You know, if there's something that happens that somebody wants to talk about, maybe it's just like a little just address it and then you move on, rather than something that could really hurt people. And when I say hurt people, I mean like hurt the team or like be a bigger issue than what it is. That's what I hear when I hear him talk about that.
Well, right. And, you know, look, Dansby Swanson, if he could just get the, like, keep the offense going the way it is, and maybe not necessarily at the torrid pace that he's been on lately, that guy, I mean, that is a double threat. The dual threat of his elite defense. He is an elite shortstop. He's got one error so far this year. He is terrific at that. And good on him to not let the bat affect the glove. And it really never has. I think it was it last year at the beginning of the year that Swanson made a few errors? He was having some trouble with the throws, but he got it back on really quickly. And he's just been superior at the position so far this year. So that's just the thing. That is why Dansby Swanson was a number one overall pick once upon a time ago. And he hasn't been, like, really since the first half of his first year with the Cubs, where he was hitting everything. Like, I remember being so happy that he got off to a fast start in his first year with the Cubs, because that's a lot of pressure. And I've seen too many Cubs free agents come into this town and fail because they got off to a poor start and never recovered. He was terrific, but then there's just been this, like, he's been a quality player for the Cubs mostly because of his defense, but the offense has just kind of slowly gone down. So I want to see what he has done lately stay, because he's best player on the team if he can really get the offense going.
He's the best player on the team all around. I mean,
yes,
I think far as the hitting aspect, you know, Kyle Tucker, Seiya Suzuki.
Yeah, I'm saying if he hits. But
it should be some combination of Kyle Tucker, Seiya Suzuki, Dansby Swanson, PCA.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how it should be hitting-wise. You know, that's what you ideally want when you're hiring Dansby.
But that's why I'm saying we are loving on, and we should be, on PCA and Kyle Tucker and all these guys and what they've been doing. But if Dansby Swanson is to get hit above average, he is up there for best player on the Cubs.
Well, he's done a lot to help his cause, especially recently. The Cubs begin that three-game set tonight against the Giants, so we'll see how this continues. PCA on Friday talked post-game about the lineup also helping the team overall kind of help them suss it out as individuals.
You've grown as a hitter over the last year. You talk about getting better at bats. How have you been able to do that?
I don't really know, to be honest. I mean, I definitely know what I do well, a little bit better than I did last year. And, you know, having a whole year under my belt now, I feel more comfortable in the box, and I think that's just a nice place to start. But what I would say, too, not to discredit myself, I've been saying this a bunch recently, like, it's so easy to hit in this lineup. I just feel so confident going up to the plate in the 7-hole. I'm talking about flying under the radar. Like, I feel like I can kind of hide in there in a way. Because it's so easy to want to go have a good at-bat and, you know, when you got eight other guys that can really do it behind you, in front of you. So having a year under my belt, getting to know myself a little bit better as a hitter, and definitely working on some little things mechanically that will, I think, lead to some consistency. But not hitting in this lineup is probably the biggest difference I've seen this year to any other year I've ever played baseball, where it's like you see a lot of these innings, that first and second inning that we just had today, like, Happer's great in that leadoff spot. He's on base so much. You know, being able to switch out Seiya and Kyle in that 2 and 3 hole, throwing Carson in the 4 hole, Bushy in the 4 hole, whatever it is. There's just so much room to succeed here, and just confidence.
Grody and I had a little bit of a laugh at all the nicknames.
That's what she said.
Hey! I do think he's right, though, and this is when I always get frustrated when there's some quote study end quote that comes out saying, oh, protection in the lineup doesn't matter. How are you conducting this study? How can you possibly control for all those variables? Are you watching all of those games?
Are there people that say that doesn't matter, like the metrics?
There's so many different ways to interpret baseball where you can take so much out of context because you can't control for all the variables. Mm-hmm. My point is this is just another piece of evidence, in my opinion, that shows how production and protection in the lineup does matter. When players tell you that they're not as pressed because they know somebody else might pick them up, or how the protection will cause the opponent to maybe focus on one part of the lineup more than another, and that allows for those people to produce. There are all these different ways where you're saying the offense is going to carry you through, and it creates opportunities for everybody else.
And now more than ever, they like go back to the two starting pitchers being out and having to depend on Boyd and Colin Ray and Jameson Taillon. Are the Cubs now depending on 5 to 7 runs a game? That's hard. I don't know if they are or not, but that's really difficult to depend on, especially once you get to the place we all want the Cubs to get, and that is the postseason. Another question I want to ask PCA is, I'll ask you this question. Do you think PCA is a home run hitter? You think he's going to – how many home runs do you think PCA is going to hit this year?
Oh, yeah, that I don't know. I don't think it's – if he hits – somewhere even slightly below 20, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Is that crazy? No, I don't think
he's got 9.
Right.
So, I don't think that's crazy.
I need him to just get on base, however he wants to do that.
Or hit home runs.
Yeah, like, if you account for all four of them.
Yeah.
And for me, that's a big part of it. Maybe you don't need to be the home run hitter. Maybe that's not the pressure. But I need you to be an extra base hitter.
Yeah. But we disagreed a little bit on this. We talked about this earlier. I think he's swinging for home runs. And I know it's very easy to say since he's hit a whole bunch recently, but there was a time when it was just make contact, get on base, bunt a little bit, you know, just get on base because you'll be at third. You're Billy Hamilton. No.
No, I don't think he's that.
I think PCA thinks he's a home run hitter, and maybe he is. But this just goes back to, who are you, man? Who are you? Well, who are you, PCA?
Maybe the better question is, who do you want to be?
I think he wants to be a home run hitter. And I don't blame him. Like, he could be, he's probably in his head, he's probably thinking 40-40 or 30-30, something like that. No, he's not going to hit 40 home runs, but I think he could hit 30. Or is he just red hot right now? Is he going to, like, get ice cold? Who are you, PCA? Who are you?
Are you trying to ask, you wouldn't ask him if he's going to get ice cold, or would you?
No, I wouldn't ask him that, but it's going to happen, right? And I think that's the point at which there might be some adjusting in terms of how much he swings.
I mean, I don't know. You could argue that already happened for him, too.
That there was an adjustment?
Yes, that he adjusted.
Yeah.
That we adjusted to him, and that he adjusted back.
Right, he couldn't hit a fastball when he first came up. So that's why all of this is so astonishing, that he's gone from not being able to hit a fastball when he first came up to all of a sudden he's hit all these home runs in the last, 17 games or so. And I had it here. It is right here. Last 17 games, this man has a .343 average, 9 homers, .866 slug, K rate 17.1, hard hit rate 47.4%. That's from Marquee Sports Network.
But when I hear him say it's easy to hit in this lineup, I do think that translates into his timing at the plate. And I think that timing will result in home runs. Yeah. That's usually how it works.
So do you think he thinks he wouldn't be as good if he wasn't in this lineup?
That's a good question.
I don't think he would ever say that. Just because he's a very confident man.
I think he would have to answer it for himself.
Yeah.
I guess the better question is like, how much better do you think this lineup makes you?
Hey, this guy,
if you're somewhere else, who are you?
Right. Well, reports are that maybe, allegedly, he turned down a contract extension. This was before he went on the torrid pace. So I guess that I answered my own question. Yes, he does think he's better than even other people think he is.
Those are the reports. The better question is, does it get revisited? Or do you just bet on yourself and buy yourself time?
PCA ain't signing anything this year. Unless the Cubs really up the offer. If they up the ante.
Which I don't know that that's happening.
6 years... Like, talked about Aloy, 6 years, $43 million before he did anything. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it would be in the Cubs' best interest to lock him in. That's for sure, their rate.
It would absolutely be in the Cubs' best interest. The
Cubs did that with Rizzo, too. Same thing. Really, really good team offer to Rizzo in 2013, I think.
And it worked out well for them.
Yeah.
To say the very least.
Exactly. So that's why the Cubs should be trying to sign. I mean, PCA should probably be betting on himself.
Fair enough.